I'd like to begin today for our mutual edification by complaining about the weather. Oh, man, where do I even start? Like, do you know, there are, and I'm sure this isn't true of you, but there are people who like when, you know, they look forward to summer. I know this is not you, but, you know, like they're like, oh, summer, you know, those beautiful sunny days and it's... Like, what is wrong with you? Like, you know, I know, you know, it says in Psalm 121, the sun shall not harm you by day. Well, I'm going to apply a bit of cultural relativity here because back then they had an ozone layer. Ever heard of that sort of thing? These days the sun will kill you. Do you know the perfect weather, and I think this is an objectively true thing, the perfect weather, and this is what I yearn for, right? This time of year, oh man, I yearn for winter, right? Just yearn. And I know we all do. And it's like the perfect weather is 10 to 14 degrees. That is the sweet spot. When I look on the weather and I see it's like 12 degrees and oh, I'm like, oh man, and I'm straight down the beach with my dog. I'm like, it's the best, right? You feel cooped up in summer? I mean, we're all hiding in our homes yesterday like there's been a nuclear war, you know? And anyway, I could go on. Maybe I will go on. But who's with me? Okay. Well, it shows that, well, we're all different and that's okay. If you disagree, well, you're wrong. Because it's easier to warm up in winter than it is to cool down in summer. Now, if you've got a better argument than that, I'd like to try to convince you otherwise. So come and see me afterwards and we'll have a good, robust debate about that, or not. Anyway, everything else I'm going to say hopefully will make sense to you. But look, we're all different, and one of the things that it's important for as a church and I, is that we actually lean into the things that we can all have in common. And it's not just believing the same things, but it's actually pursuing the same sort of goals. What really creates unity is not just believing the same things, but pursuing the same goals, and that we're all walking on this same path together. And the role of us getting together like this, even on a desperately hot day like today, is to remind ourselves, okay, what are we doing here? This is our time of public demonstration of worship, first and foremost. As I often say, when you even get in the car, you load your kids in the car and you drive here and you get them out and you sit at you, that is an expression of worship for this time of public demonstration, what is most important in life. But we also like to spend some time reminding ourselves. It's like we're all stepping up on the road. We're not trying to do everything here. There are a lot of things that we can do deeper in other, we go deeper in other contexts. You know, worship, for example, this is why we have worship nights, so we can go deeper in those contexts. But one of the things that we do want to do in this context is to all remind ourselves what's most important. In a sense, to step up onto the road and to face the in the same direction and remind ourselves, right, where are we going here? What is this all about? And we've expressed this as a church in terms of three key values: pursue God, build community, and grow people. Pursue God, we help people find God and walk closely with Him. Build community. We draw and connect people into Christ's church, into God's family. And grow people. We empower people into God's calling and purpose. That's what we're all about. And today, I'm going to focus on the third of those. Grow people. And as I move into this topic, I want to make a really important distinction. And this is a kind of theological basic, but it will become apparent why this is really important and why I think we need to be reminded of this. There are two aspects of what God wants to do for us through Jesus Christ. There are two sort of main effects of what Jesus did for us. When God came to us in Jesus Christ and He suffered and died in our place to take away our guilt so that we could be forgiven, there are two things. First of all is a change of status, and the second thing is a change of state. You could also put that in terms of a change of position and a change of condition. Now, it's in a sense, it's a little bit like we've been invited we've been reconciled with God so that God can get his hands on us and actually begin to transform us into the people that we were always made to be. But to be transformed into the people that we were always made to be, we first need to be reconciled with God. And then once we're reconciled with God, then we can begin to be transformed. And this verse here in Romans chapter 3 is a very classic statement of this change of position in relation to God, a repositioning of putting us in reconciliation with God. Romans chapter 3 from verse 21 says, "But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him." That's the change of status or change of position, to be made right with him. "Without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago." Because the thing is, because we can't really be the people that God wants us to be unless we're first reconciled with God and he transforms us. And so it says that we're made right without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God simply by placing our faith in Jesus Christ, that is, by entrusting our lives to Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. So it doesn't matter how, it doesn't matter what condition you feel that you're in, God is a free gift, is giving you this change of position, reconciliation, unconditional forgiveness. He goes on, "For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sin." So this is the change of position. Then there's this change of condition. So for example, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says, "And we are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory." We are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory. It's as though, to illustrate it this way, there's a sense in which God has invited us first into his household. And as I often say, anyone can come to Jesus. Anyone can come and be embraced by Jesus and be ushered into the family, the household of God, to be part of God's family. But we need to, when we come, we need to understand that all of those who come to Jesus, and by the way, you don't need to change anything before you come. In fact, don't even try to change anything before you come on your own. But we understand that when we come to Jesus, that everything is going to change. Everything is going to change. And in fact, change itself is the vital sign of life. A tree that stops changing is a dead tree. Change, transformation, the process of growth is the vital sign of life. Now, it's important, the reason the distinction between those two aspects is important, because the process of growth is going to be messy. It's going to be messy. And this is what I mean by that. We can sometimes think that, you know, the growth trajectory looks like a straight upward line. You know, we're just better, you know, going upward and onward, you know, in this consistent sort of upward slope. It's actually not like that. If I was to map the typical trajectory of growth, it would look like an upward zigzag, right? And this is important. The upward zigzag is, there's a kind of inevitability about this. And here's why. Because sometimes things need to get worse before they get better. There are times when God puts us in situations that actually brings the worst in us to the surface so that we see what needs to be transformed. Sometimes God allows us to fail so that we know where our weaknesses are, where the chinks in our armor are. And the process, this process is really important. So this is why it's vital that we recognize this, so that when you do inevitably stumble and fall, when you do fail, when the zigzag goes down, that you know that that growth trajectory is taking place in an environment of unconditional favor, the grace of God. If you fall over and stumble, if you see the worst, it's all happening inside, as it were, the household of God, figuratively speaking. And God says to you, right, what did we learn about this? Don't beat yourself up, right, and think, oh no, now this somehow disqualifies me. No, no, you weren't qualified in the first place by your state, by your achievements. So your failure does not then disqualify you. Do you understand? It's really important that you know that, that when you stumble and fall, you stumble and you fall over in the grace zone. You got that? And in the grace zone, it's all about growth, right? It's all about, right, what did we learn today? Let's get back up and let's keep moving. And it doesn't matter how bad your failure. Probably the worse your failure, probably the more you learn. It's very true, isn't it? For those of you who have walked this pathway, it's a zigzag, isn't it? It's a zigzag. And I want to give you permission today. I want to give you permission to fail. Permission to not be in a great place. Permission to not be going well. Now, I urge you, don't wallow on the downward, right? Don't wallow there, right? Because you see, it's all about growth, right? And you go through it by growing through it. So you've got to keep moving, right? When you hit the bottom, when you hit the bottom of the barrel and you see the worst in yourself, don't give up at that point, because it's all about growth. It's all about moving forwards. Don't wallow. Go through it by growing through it. Life is about growth. It's about growth. And this is actually a very, very simple sort of idea that I want to work with today. And in a sense, I'm repeating a lot of things that I say before, and I'm actually quite committed to saying this very regularly because I need to be reminded of this. When I face situations, right, and I'm going to react to those situations, rather than reacting to my situations, I'm learning to respond, rather than react, to respond intentionally to what God is doing in the situation and what God is saying in the situation. Now, I know there are some situations, many situations in life that are just bad, right? They're not even the sorts of, it's not even the way that God wants the world to be, right? And yet even there, as it says in Romans 8:28, God works in all things for the good of those who love him, who are being transformed into his likeness. And the transformation is everything. This process, and this is another important thing about it. I like walking around with my glasses because I can sort of point at you with my glasses. It's very important that we recognize too that this is a relational process. This is not just kind of self-help. It's not just self-help. It's not just the Nietzschean kind of whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That's a quote from Nietzsche, which is slightly problematic. Anyway, this is a relational process of growth. It's all about your relationship with God. In any given situation, the most important thing is, first of all, your relationship with God and then your relationship with other people. And they're very closely connected. So you've got to think of it as a relational process, right? Because often you'll go into a situation and and whatever the situation, even if it's just bad and there's a sense in which God laments the situation with you, yet above the thing that God most wants is for that situation to draw you and him together. That is the most important priority. These are the faith growing opportunities. You know, if God told me beforehand, oh, there's some things that are going to happen up in the next couple of months, and oh, it's going to grow your faith, right? And I'd be, oh no. Like that'd be my response, right? Because I want to be in a space where I don't really have to trust God that much. You know, I like those spaces. But God's priority is always to draw me closer to Him. And when I look back on my life, I can say, Lord, you have done all things right. You have always been faithful, always. And I see the priority of God as I look back. Man, I can see a zigzag. I can see a zigzag, all right, a massive, big, jagged zigzag. But it's an upward trajectory. And through it all, I can see in every single moment, it was all about me growing in my faith relationship with God, me being brought into greater harmony with God's character and God's will. And you know, this is where the intimacy with God is made, right? I think the sense of intimacy that I have with God, it's all made in this space, right? Because life is about this conversation with God, right? God is conversing. It's like you go through life and it's you're being manhandled by God constantly. You know what I mean? And it's beautiful, right? Because it's with hands of love, right, that He shapes us and transforms us. And so there's this wonderful intimacy that comes out of this. And I should say too, we tend to, our natural setting is to avoid this, right? Because we want to think that we're okay the way that we are. And we tend not to want to change. We tend to be very resistant to change. And that's where we lose our sense of connection with God. But the more malleable we come, the more we're willing to put ourselves into God's hands, like wet clay into the hands of the potter, the more intimate will be your relationship with God. And like also, the brighter you will shine as well. This is actually also what makes you and me a witness. This is where the glory is. It's not in you being in some advanced state of godliness. I don't think there are really any people here, maybe there are. But it's not about being in some advanced state of godliness. It's about having in your life that momentum of change. You know those bikes that you ride and as you ride them, they power the lights? I think we're a bit like that. It's as the momentum of change that God is bringing about by His Holy Spirit, this inside-out change. As that change is happening, it's like we shine as a light. That's where the energy comes, right? And this is important, right? Because a lot of people think, particularly on the downward, you know, the downward slopes of that upward zigzag, people think, oh, I'm disqualified, I can't serve God. And this is where a bit of the imposter syndrome happens. Oh, I'm not going well, right? You know, you not going well is probably an important facet of your growth. And the most important thing is not that you're going well or not well or whatever. The most important thing is that you are going through it by growing through it. It's the energy of growth. I'll say it again. You have permission to not be going well. Don't wallow. But let yourself discover what you need to discover. It's not only does it not disqualify you, but actually those experiences are the very thing that gives us, that makes us shine as lights. It's the thing that makes us witnesses. See, we have this, in that process, we have this immediate experience, ongoing experience of God. This immediate ongoing experience of God. You know, we sang in that song, The Dove, we want more of you. We want more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That is going to be exactly equivalent to how much you are willing to change. How much more of the Holy Spirit you have in your life is exactly equivalent to how much you are willing to change. Because the more the Holy Spirit gets His hands on our inner being and in our hearts, the more we will change. And the more willing you are, the more malleable you are, the more you will embody this wonderful transformative work of God. You know, I have nothing to give if this is not happening in my life. any number of university degrees or even biblical knowledge is useless. I have nothing to give you if I am not going through that process. Nothing to give. All of my ministry comes out of a long experience of growth, of intimacy with God in the growth process. It's not a disqualifying experience that you're going through. It doesn't disqualify you. In fact, it's the very thing that is going to enable you to be a powerful witness to the transformative power of the Holy Spirit. Another way that I put this is to say, I'm going to take a drink because this is good, this next bit. Another way of saying this, and this is important for me because I love a project. My life, if God didn't transform it for the better, would be all about objects and objectives, like amassing objects and reaching objectives. I love a project. You know, I'm going to work on this project here, right? It's, you know, I'm going to change the world. And there's something actually intuitive. There is something really important about that because we were made, right, to have an effect on our environment, right? But we can externalize this stuff. I'm going to change this and I'm going to change that and I'm going to change Robbie and I'm going to change whatever, you know. I'm going to change all the people around me. I'm going to make sure that they... And so we tend to externalize our projects. I'm sure you've got lots of projects, lots of things that you want your life to be. You know, maybe it's like your business and your work or who you want to be in that place. And maybe it's, your lifestyle situation, all these little projects that we work on. Maybe it's even ministry things, right? Because like for me, a lot of the projects that I work on are actually ministry projects, you know, and they're good things. They're things that God wants me to do. So that's all absolutely legitimate. But one of the most important things that we need to realize is that first and foremost, God works in the world through people by transforming them, and growing people grow people, right? So what that means is, and this is one I've said to you before, we have to say to ourselves constantly, I am the project. I am the project. It's like, you know, when you're in that situation and you're really frustrated, right? And you're frustrated with that person because they're in the way, and you're frustrated with this because, you know, this isn't happening. You get angry at people and they're not doing the right. You got to stop, take a deep breath and say, now, hang on a minute. Actually, first and foremost, not invalidating the things that need to happen around you, but first and foremost, you need to say to yourself, hang on, I actually am the primary project here. God's priority in this situation is to shape me, and only as I am being shaped can I rightly be someone who shapes according to God's will. Does that make sense? This is a really important one because, again, we have a tendency to react, right? I'm reacting to the situation. Quick, change things, right? It's a bit of the God complex there going on, you know. It's always a mixture, isn't it, of something that's legitimate, yes, because that's what we're made for, to have an effect on our environment. But there's a bit of a God complex there. We want to do it in our way and in our terms and in our timing. It's really important that we stop and we say, no, hang on, what is God saying to me first? Before I react, I need to respond to what God is saying to me in this situation, right? Even if you think, oh, I'm gonna be most useful if I do this or if I react in this way. No, not if you aren't responding to what God wants to do. Now, so we got that bit, right? Make that whatever next pressure situation that you're in, whatever that pressure situation is, I want you to say to yourself, okay, I am the project. And it's not about being selfish and self-centered. It's just about recognizing that if God's not working in you, then he's not going to work through you. So say to yourself, right, I am the project here. Okay, just before I try and change everyone else, what is God saying to me? Now, this is important because often God puts us in situations, and I'm not saying every situation is like this, right? As I said, some situation is just bad. Even in those just bad situations, there's still a sense in which
God has a purpose to draw us closer to himself. However, there are many situations. I don't know if you've noticed this, and this is, again, a little bit of repetition here. There are many situations that God puts us in that just have this way of pressing on our sorest spots. Have you ever noticed that? It's like of all the things that could happen, of all the things that could happen, it's the very thing that pushes on my sorest spot. And in many cases, we think, oh, man, this is just cruelty. God's just being cruel, right? But you know what God's doing, don't you? He's pressing the wound. He's pressing the wound. When you go to, you know, your doctor with an infection or whatever, and the doctor presses on the wound, he's not trying to torture you. In defense of all the doctors in the room, they're nice people, right? They're doing that for your good, right? But they need to press the wound to find out where the infection is. And we need to know as we grow, right? Because it's a relational process, which means we need to cooperate with and respond to God in the process. As he works in us inside out by his Holy Spirit, we need to respond to that. So God puts us in situations that just have this brilliant way. Oh, it's just brilliant the way that God does it. I never think that at the time, but I'm just saying this now so that I can really objectify this, right? God has this brilliant way of putting us in exactly the situation that's going to press on, that's going to press on the infection, right? And, you know, of course, what we do is that we get angry with the people in that situation. We think that, that must be the wrong situation. If it's pressing on my wounds, I need to get out of that situation. Well, it could be that that situation is exactly what you need, because pressing the wound. And again, don't react with fight or flight. Respond. Respond. God, what are you doing? This is the key again and again for me to building such a sense of intimacy with God is responding. Oh, man, God, what are you saying to me in this situation? Okay, before I take it out on other people, sometimes I get a few steps down beginning to take it out on other people, and then I have to, I just need to respond to what God is doing. But this, as you respond to that, this will get the wheels of your relationship with God turning in amazing ways. And the energy that will bring into your life, the spiritual energy that will bring into your life will not only bring so much joy and assurance. This is the thing, as kind of messy as the whole thing is, this is where I find joy. Because joy comes through my sense of intimacy with God. This is where I have peace, because I know that, man, God is really surrounding me and working in me and through me. And so I encourage you, whatever it is that you're facing right now, I just want you to think right now, what is the most pressure sort of thing that you're facing? What is the biggest challenge that you're facing? And I want to get us kicked off today by asking the question, Lord, what are you saying to me? What do you want to show me? What's the infection that you want to deal with? So why don't we stand together and let's ask that question. I'm going to get the music team to come up. And we're going to ask that question together as we close in prayer. And it's going to be my prayer, particularly for all of you. Maybe you feel like, oh, I just feel like God hasn't been doing much in my life. I mean, maybe you've been looking for fireworks out there. You don't need fireworks out there because there's a refining fire in here. I know you prefer the fireworks out there. Oh, but the refining fire in here. Oh, it's much closer. It's much closer. And that's what God wants to be, much closer. In a moment, we're going to sing that song, New Wine, and it uses the illustration of new wine, which is a symbol of joy, right? And God wants to bring new joy into all of our lives. But often, as the song says, it's in the crushing and the pressing that this happens. And I stand here as a witness today. God is good. God is so good. And I trust him with my life. Oh man, it's hard sometimes. I'll be honest with you, it's really hard to trust sometimes. But I make a decision today, oh God, he is trustworthy, right? Put your life in his hands today. Maybe for you it's for the first time today. If you're just visiting here today, we welcome you into, we're all on this journey. There are no perfect people in this place. Join us for this journey of transformation, because we're going to discover how good God is, how right are his ways. Let's commit ourselves to this today. Father in heaven, today we commit ourselves into your hands. As Jesus prayed, even on the cross, Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. Lord, we commit ourselves to you. We entrust ourselves to Jesus Christ. Lord, maybe for many of us there are things that we just feel like, oh, I just can't change that. And you know what? That's right. That's true. You can't. So Lord, first of all, we bring to you all the impossibility of our circumstances, all the impossibility of what we see within ourselves. And we say, Lord, help. Oh, it's a great prayer. Lord, help us. I love that, you know, that simple biblical prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. We cry out to you, Jesus, for your transforming power, because whoever calls on the name of the Lord, as the scriptures say, will be saved. And so I pray, Lord, that you would stir within every heart here. We ask you today, Lord God, to bring to the surface what it is that you want to bring to the surface, whatever the consequences, so that we would see the truth about ourselves, that we might know the wonderful truth about you. And Father, may your transforming power then work in each person in this place, that we would truly be a community of transformation in the context of a household of grace. There is grace here. You are accepted and loved, and therefore God grants us this journey of transformation. And so we commit ourselves to this today. Let's respond now with this song.